I just want to take a moment. I really sense that Jesus desires this morning through this message to let you know that he is ready, that maybe there's some here this morning, some situations or circumstances you just need him to walk into. You just need him to walk into. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he will. My life is a testimony, and many of your lives are testimony that God will come in, and when he comes in the room is never the same again. The room is never the same again. So let's just take a moment and just pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for the privilege we have to come this morning, and we have sensed already that you are here. We come this morning to the Word because it is the Word that through your Word life is spoken. And I just sense, Lord, that there may be some dark places or some confused places. There may be some places of question, maybe some places of guilt. And Lord, that you want to walk into this morning and change them forever. And so we invite you to do that. We pray that your blessing will be on the Word and on the preaching of that Word so we can hear in our hearts what you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Harry Houdini, his specialty was getting out of places. He lived at the beginning of not the past century, but the one before, not this century, but the one before. He lived at the beginning and started out with handcuffs. He would have the police lock him in handcuffs. He was basically a stunt artist and an illusionist, if you will. And his thing was getting out of stuff. He handcuffs and then chains and whatnot. And then he went from there to at one point he had these huge, they're called milk cartons, but they weren't cartons of milk. It really was big transport where they transported milk, and he'd have it filled with water and sealed. And he would invite his audience sealed and chained, and he would invite his audience when they sealed him to hold their breath. And many in the audience would hold their breath, and they would give out a breath long before he came out. But he'd come out of that carton. He then one thing that he did was he had them take him and lock him in stocks, his feet in stocks, and hang him upside down, and then suspend him in a tank of water, and then chain the tank shut. And would escape from that. And again, many times, long after everybody else had exhaled, he was still in the tank of water. And his stunts just went one after another. And he never failed to escape. His specialty was getting out. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus' specialty is getting in. His specialty is getting in. See, they would lock Houdini in and he would get out. But the story I want to talk with you about this morning, they locked Jesus out, but he got in. And I just want to talk with you for a few moments because I think there are sometimes there are some places, there are lives that have locked Jesus out and he wants to come in. But I think also maybe sometimes in our own Christian lives, there are some places where we lock him out. And I'm telling you this morning, Jesus wants to come in. And when he comes in, the room will never be the same again. And I want to talk with you about one such instance. We've been talking about the miracles of Jesus for several weeks now. Didn't intend for this to be a series, but God has just kept us here. And we've been talking about the various miracles of Jesus. And last week and this week and in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about miracles that happened after the resurrection. And this morning is really one of my favorite stories. And so I want to read two passages. It's really one story, but two chapters of one story. And I want us to read it together. John, the 20th chapter. Read with me, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any sins, the sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, I want to pause here a second because I want to read a second passage, but I want to let you know that, and it says this, but I'm not going to read it. Thomas was not with them when this happened. And they told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "That's all well and good for you, but I got to see him too. And unless I put my fingers in his nail prints and my hand in his side, I will not believe. I will not believe." And Jesus must have heard that. Because it picks up then in verse 26, and notice what it says. "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then they said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed.'" Pay close attention to this. "But blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." And yet still believe. This morning, I want to take just a moment and I want to talk about the first part of this story and what happened when Jesus came in the room. And then I want to show you five gifts that Jesus left with them when he came in that room. Because when Jesus comes into a room, the room is never the same again. It's never the same again. And then I have a word that I want to talk with you, a word about Thomas. And I'm going to do those things pretty quickly, so stay with me this morning. It's incredible. The disciples, they do not know what to do. Remember what has happened in the previous week. Jesus has been crucified, and so there is fear, and there's doubt, and there's wondering about what in the world is going on, and they know the Jews are likely looking for them next. You know, I mean, the religious leaders are looking, and they're trying to wipe out this belief in Jesus, and so they don't know what to do. They are afraid and confused. And then, to make matters worse, then there comes these news that the women went down to the grave and he's not there. And they saw an angel, and the angel said, "He's not here." And so that news comes back. So now not only they're afraid and concerned and worried and fearful, but now they're stunned at what does this mean and what's going on. And then another story comes. Mary comes and says that she has seen the Lord. And so what are the disciples to make of this? And then on top of that, they come these two disciples that we talked about last week. If you were here last week, these two disciples that had gone down to Emmaus and Jesus met them on the way. And they come back and they said, "Look, we've not only seen the Lord, we talked with him and he walked with us and he sat at our table and he broke bread and the Lord, he is alive." And so the disciples are stunned and confused. They want to be excited and they're just in this incredible state. And they go into this room and they lock the door. They lock the door because things are just so crazy and upset. And inside this locked room, you can imagine it's not a large room, it's a small room. They are one man's fear is feeding off another man's fear. One man's concern is feeding off another man's concern. You know how it is when you get a group of people together and in that close room and there is in that place and as they and it's fascinating the scripture reads, Jesus it said just was there. He just appeared in the room. And there's nothing in the scripture that indicates. Now, sometimes we dramatize it that maybe there was this bright light flashing and all, but there's nothing in the scripture that indicates that. He was just there in the room. And I got to tell you something this morning. There are sometimes in our lives when we are looking for a flash, we are looking for a sound of thunder, we're looking for a lightning, and we miss the fact that Jesus is just there. Because we're looking for all of the display, and Jesus is there. He is there in the room with you. And as they were sitting, they were talking, they're looking around, and it says that they looked, and Jesus was just there in the room. And two fundamental things happen in that room that changes the atmosphere of the room forever. And I think it's crucial for you and I to know this because it's what Jesus wants to do in your life and my life too. The two fundamental things that happen, the first one is peace. Jesus says it not once but twice, and he says it a third time when he comes back, when Peter's with him, he says, "Peace be with you. Now remember, these disciples are afraid, they are confused, their lives are threatened, their livelihoods are threatened, their families are threatened, their whole future that they thought they were going to spend with Jesus, they feel like it has been turned upside down. They are locked in this room, and the first thing that Jesus says to them is, "Peace be with you." I want you to know this morning that the fundamental thing that Jesus wants to do in your life is he wants to bring peace. And now this peace is a different peace. It does not mean when the world thinks peace, they think a sensation, a stop of anything, of any trouble. They think it is a stop, but this peace is a state in the inside of the person, regardless of what is going on the outside of the person. In fact, it means an untroubled spirit. Watch this, as a result of being in relationship with God. Now, listen to me this morning. You got to get this in your spirit. You got to hear it this morning. Listen to me. If your peace rests on your circumstances, you're never going to have an untroubled spirit. If your peace rests on what's going on the outside, you're never going to have an untroubled spirit. If your peace rests in you being in agreement with everybody around you, there being no problems in your life, if it rests on that, you're never going to have an untroubled spirit. But if your peace rests in the fact that you are in relationship with God, that through Jesus Christ, you are in relationship with him, you can stand in the middle of whatever it is that's going and have an untroubled spirit. There can be peace. And I love it when Jesus comes into that moment. They understand and they realize. In fact, when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," that is actually a Jewish greeting at the time. In other words, when the Jews greeted each other, they would say, "Peace be with you," and they would speak that over one another. But when Jesus spoke it, watch this. When Jesus spoke it, it took on a whole different and new meaning, because this was the resurrected Savior. This was the he had risen from the grave. And so now when Jesus said it, now it was tied in to the divine promise that you can enter into a new relationship with God. And from that, you can have peace in your life. And I want you to know something this morning. If you are here this morning and you don't have that peace, you don't have that peace in your heart, you don't have that peace in your life, I want you to know that there is a promise, a divine promise in God, that with a relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I can walk in peace. And I love the fact that these disciples, what they needed most, what they may have thought they needed most, was for the trouble to stop, for the pain to stop, for the confusion to stop. What they thought they may have needed most is for the authorities to no longer be looking after them and all of the trouble to be gone. But what they needed most was God's peace. God's peace. So the first thing that fundamentally changed in the room is that they suddenly were at peace. Now, suddenly now there was the peace inside of them. The second thing that fundamentally changed is this. And notice what it says. It says, and the disciples were overjoyed. It's in verse 20. The disciples were, watch this, overjoyed when they saw the Lord. It's fascinating. This word overjoyed literally means to rejoice. To rejoice. It means it's an exuberant. It's a spoken. It's a demonstrated joy. It's not just when it says they were overjoyed, it's not just that they were happy that they had joy. They were exuberant. They demonstrated. They showed this joy. Now, it's fascinating, Ben. Think about what happened. These disciples, a little bit before, they were huddled in dark corners and in hushed tones, right? Because why? Because they didn't want anybody outside the room to hear them. They were huddled there in fear. Last thing you want to do is make some noise so that those that are hunting you might find you, so that those that are after you might find you. But it says when they saw Jesus, when they saw him come into the room, when they recognized that it was him, when he showed them his hands and his side, and they recognized it was him, then all of a sudden, what people heard on the outside didn't matter. What people thought on the outside didn't matter. There was this joy, joy, joy joy that rose up inside of them, and it didn't matter what the authorities heard then, there was joy. See, the room had fundamentally changed from fear to peace, from hushed tones to an exuberant praise of God and glory of God and shout of Him, and it didn't matter. The room had fundamentally changed. In fact, it's fascinating. Jesus, just a few chapters before, had actually told them that this was going to happen. Here's what he said in Matthew. He said to them, he said, a time is coming when you will be at grief. He says, but I will come again to you. And when I come to you, you will have joy. And it'll be a joy that no one can take away. I want you to know this morning, when you're in relationship with Jesus, it's a joy that no one and nothing can take away. Joy, deep joy that is in there. See, listen to me this morning. When Jesus came into the room, his presence was the answer to their questions. When Jesus came into the room, he cleared up the confusion. When Jesus came into the room, he wiped away the doubt. When Jesus came into the room, he destroyed the fear. When Jesus came into the room, he brought a peace. When Jesus came into the room, he produced a joy, and it's a joy that no one could take from them. When he came into the room was changed forever. It was changed forever. See, I want you to understand this morning that the miracle of Jesus coming into the room, the miracle of Jesus appearing in the room, when that happens, and listen, I want you to know that because I've lived it in my own life, and many of you have as well. Listen, when Jesus comes, answers are not nearly as important because he is there. He is there. When he comes into the room, confusion is not nearly as overwhelming because you have seen him. When Jesus comes into, listen, doubt cannot stand in the presence of a resurrected Savior. Fear cannot stand in the presence of a resurrected Lord. Confusion cannot stay where Jesus is there. In that room, when he comes into the room. And maybe there's in your life this morning, maybe there's this place of, maybe there's something you do not have peace about it. Maybe it's a job, or maybe it's a relationship you have, or maybe it's about your future. Maybe you're here this morning, it's about your future. I want you to know this morning, listen, when Jesus can step into the middle of that and bring peace and bring joy, and if you let him, it will change you forever, forever. What is fascinating, though, is that the story does not end there. Jesus didn't just show up. Jesus left with them five gifts, and I just want to mention them quickly this morning. A couple of them I've already talked about, but I want to list them. So if you're taking notes this morning, Jesus left five gifts with the disciples in that room. It's gifts that he has left with you as a Christian and with us as a church. And when I talk about them this morning, if you're taking notes, write it down. Five gifts that Jesus left in the room. The first gift that he left is this. He left his presence, or he brought his presence. I've already mentioned it, but I want to mention it again this morning. The presence of Jesus changes everything. When he comes into the room, it changes everything. When he shows up, everything is changing. And that was a gift that he brought them. He brought them his presence. You taking notes this morning? That's the first thing. It's the primary thing, because everything else flows from his presence. If Jesus shows up, listen, something's going to change. If he doesn't show up, you're in trouble. The good news is he specializes in getting in. Houdini specialized in getting out. Jesus specializes in getting in. Listen, this morning, he wants to bring his presence into your heartache. This morning, he wants to bring his presence into your sickness. This morning, he wants to bring his presence into your failed relationship. This morning, he wants to bring his presence into your worry about that job. This morning, he wants to come, his presence. He wants to show up in the midst of that place this morning with you. If you'll just allow him this morning. Second thing that he brought this morning, I've already mentioned it, But I want to mention it again quickly. It's the second thing because it's crucial. He brought his peace. That what he left in that room with his was his peace. Do you remember what he said about this? Remember what Jesus said about this peace? He says, peace, my peace, I leave with you. Not as the world leaves. Not as the world leaves. In other words, this peace I give you, it's nothing like what the world gives you, because the world's peace is temporary. The world's peace is conditional. Right? And the world's peace often means that it leads to some kind of compromise of some sort. Jesus' peace comes from his presence because he is there. His peace, he says, I leave my peace with you. Third thing that he leaves with you, and you got to understand this morning, he left them his mission. And I want to speak very clearly this morning to those of you in the room that are Christians this morning. It is fascinating to me this morning when notice what he said to them. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I love what he says here. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The significance of that is this. Jesus did not send them on a new mission. Jesus extended his mission through them. Are you hearing me this morning? That makes all the difference in the world. Because if you and I, as Christians, I don't know what your ministry is this morning. Your ministry may be a greeter at the door. Your ministry, maybe your ministry is teaching, or maybe your ministry is playing instruments, or maybe your ministry is witnessing to the world, or maybe it's hospitality, and your ministry is to just bless the pastor with a cake. It's just an example. Or maybe your ministry is hospitality, and you fix a casserole for the lady down the street that has cancer that can't fix it for herself. Or maybe your ministry is mentorship, and there's a young boy that lives in your neighborhood whose dad has left, and he's confused. But what I wanted to tell you this morning, in that ministry, is it an extension of the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus Christ. You aren't on a new mission. You are on his mission. And that makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. He left them in that room. And why was that important? Listen, because these disciples were about to found the church as you and I know it. And it is important for them to know. It was important for them to realize that they were on his mission, not a new mission. Let me just deviate from my notes here for a second. There's a lot of people today in a lot of places that call it Christian, and it has very little to do with Christ or church or the Bible. They're on their own mission. They're on their own mission. But a man and woman that has a heart after God, that has Christ living inside of them, what they're concerned about is souls, what they're concerned about is hearts, what they're concerned about is people coming to know Jesus Christ and living in relationship with him and growing up into disciples of him. They are on his mission, not their mission. Not their mission. He left there in that room his presence, his peace, his mission. Fourth thing that he left there was his spirit. I love what it says. It says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That word breathe is an interesting word. It is actually the same word that is used in the Greek Old Testament when the Old Testament was translated into Greek. In the Greek Old Testament, it's the same word that is used when Jesus created mankind and breathed life into him. What Jesus was saying here was this. Listen, God at the beginning of creation breathed life into man. But when my spirit comes inside of you, I'm breathing new life into you. Listen to me this morning. There are a lot of mornings that I wake up that I don't feel like getting up, or there's some situations that I don't feel like going into. Anybody ever dealt with some confusion or dealt with some difficulty in your life and you thought, man, I just need something? I am so thankful that in that moment that the new life of Jesus Christ, the new breath of Jesus Christ, the new, listen, and the new breath of the Holy Spirit is flowing inside of me and you. And I don't go on my own strength, and I don't go on my own power. I don't go on my own ability, but his life is flowing inside of me. New life. New life. New life. Let me tell you why that was so absolutely crucial and important. What Jesus, understand what Jesus was doing. Jesus was saying to them, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to heal the sick. I want you to open blind eyes. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to baptize in water and baptize in the Holy Spirit. I want you to establish the church. And by the way, you're going to be fought all the way. They're going to come against you. They're going to drag you into the synagogues. They're going to persecute you. They're going to put some of you to death. Right? They're going to fight you every step of the way that they possibly can. And just so you know, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. How incredibly important it was for them to know that they had his Holy Spirit living inside of them, because it was the only way that they could accomplish what he was sending them to do. And I'm telling you this morning that the burden that God has put in your heart, the calling he has put in your life, the ministry he has called you to, the mission in your neighborhood, in your workplace that he has called you to, can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. But it can be accomplished by the Spirit of the Almighty Living God. He left them his presence. He left them his peace. He left them his mission. He left them his Spirit. And the last thing I want to speak here, and I'm just going to touch on this. There's no time to preach all of these in depth. The last thing he left them was his authority. You see what he says there? If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus, that sometimes is a phrase that is really confused by a lot of people, and some religions have taken it and really confused it. What Jesus was talking about there is just simply he was giving them his authority. God is the only one that forgives sins, right? The Bible attests to that in many other places. What he was talking about was forgiving them sins. It's the same thing in Matthew 18 when he says this. He says, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose. What was he talking about? He was talking about the same thing that he's talking about. He's saying, look, you are going to walk in my authority. You're going to walk in my authority. Listen, church, it is absolutely crucial, and you and I understand this one. Listen, if we're going to be about his mission, empowered by his Spirit, you better be walking in his authority and only his authority, right? But he left them his authority so that they could accomplish his mission by his Spirit. He says, look, I'm leaving you my presence. I'm leaving you my peace. I'm leaving you my mission. I'm leaving you my Spirit. And I'm leaving you my authority. Wow. When Jesus comes in the room is never the same again. Never the same again. Now, a word about Thomas, and then I'm going to pull this down to a close. A word about Thomas. Because this is where it gets personal for you and I. We are hard on Thomas. We are hard on Thomas. Thomas said, look, unless I see myself, unless I put my hands where those nails were, and unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, it says Jesus showed up. Verse 26, Jesus showed up, and listen, he didn't come then for the other disciples. He came for Thomas. Why? Because the other disciples already had his peace, his presence, his mission, his Spirit, right? His authority. He came for Thomas. And he said, Thomas, I love what he says here. I love what he says here. He said, Thomas, put your hands. See, sometimes we take this as a rebuke. But notice what he does. He says, Thomas, put your hand here. He said, you wanted to? Put your hand here. Thomas, put your hand in my side. And then he says this. He says, stop doubting and believe. And sometimes we read that wrong. And we read that as a rebuke of Thomas. What he was trying to do was encourage Thomas. What he was trying to do was to get Thomas to where the other disciples had been. What he was trying to say to them, what he was trying to speak to him. He didn't, you know, if he was rebuking Thomas, he could have easily come and said, Thomas, you why in the world? You're not going to touch my hands. You're not going to touch my side. None of the rest of them had to do that. Mm-mm. Here's what he did, Mike. He met Thomas right where Thomas lived. You hear me this morning? He met Thomas right where Thomas lived. And then he said, Thomas, now that I've met you right where you live, here's what I want you to do, Thomas. I want you to stop doubting and believe. That word believe there means to give credit or give to give faith, to give trust, to give confidence to someone because they are worthy of it. I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is worthy of your confidence, your faith, and your trust. And the instructions that he gave to Thomas is the instructions he wants to give to you and I, because many of us live at that place sometime, and Jesus shows up and says, look, stop doubting and believe. And in that command is this: give him the credit that he is due. Amen? Give him the credit that he is due. And you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with me? I love what he says. Notice what Jesus says. Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. But then he says something, but this is not so much for Thomas as much as this is for me and you. He says this: blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You understand what Jesus said right then? What Jesus said right then ripples down all the way through the ages. What Jesus said right then was, blessed is Ben if he gives me credit, even though he has not seen, because he knows that in his heart, I'm worthy. Blessed is Judy, even though she has not seen. Blessed is she, because she gives me credit, because she knows that I'm worthy, and she gives her trust and her confidence and her hope in me. And I'm telling you this morning, when Jesus comes in the room, it changes everything. Let me speak to you personally for a moment. I haven't done this too much. I've mentioned it a time or two through some of this series on miracles. I haven't done it too much, but it just wells up in my spirit this morning. I knew it when we were singing praise and worship. So if you'll just allow me just for a moment, I just because there are a lot of new faces, a lot of people here that don't know the story of the last 4 years, and I'll just condense it in about 2 minutes. And the point that I'm wanting to make to you this morning is you can believe him. You can trust him when he comes in the room, and there is no situation that is too much for him. 3 years ago in the fall of 2014 or some late summer of 2014, they diagnosed me with vocal cord cancer. And they said, Pastor, maybe, hopefully we can get you back to where you can preach a 15, maybe 20 minute sermon, but you'll have to be real careful with your voice, and you have to be real careful. And said, but we think we can at least get you back to that where you can preach about a 15 or 20 minute sermon. I said, well, I think most of my congregation would be okay with that. But I'm not sure that I will. And I want you to know this morning that here we stand 3.5 years later, and God has continued to do something in my life and in my voice. Listen, you can trust him when he walks in the room. Story doesn't stop there. Story doesn't stop there. November 19th of 2015, I just finished working out in the garage and walked inside, and back of my head just exploded. I mean, just the worst headache that you ever had in your life. And Geraldine was coming in about that time, and they called the ambulance. The ambulance came and picked me up, and when they rolled me into the emergency room, the doctor took one look. He looked in my eyes. He said, your brain is bleeding. You are having a brain hemorrhage. Rush him to CAT scan. They rushed me to CAT scan, and my brain was bleeding in the back. He walked in the room, and Geraldine said, well, I've got an air ambulance on the way. Listen, this is a true story, folks. He said, I've got an air ambulance on the way. We're transferring him to Tallahassee. Geraldine said, do I need to go ahead? It'll take me an hour and a half to get down there. Do I need to go ahead to be there when he gets there? He said, he looked at her with kindness. He wasn't trying to be hard. He looked at her with kindness. He said, while you can still talk to him, you should stay here and talk to him, because I don't have any idea what you'll find when you get down there. Because the bleed that he has and where it is, there are only two outcomes: catastrophic and fatal. Catastrophic and fatal. But see, you, church, began to believe. You, church, began to pray. I gathered Geraldine and Danielle Casey around me, and in that room, we were there. Nurses were on this side, paramedics were on that side, and the air ambulance people were coming in, and the four of us gathered hands, and we said, God, we just need you to walk into the middle of this situation. And we prayed, and we believed in that room. They loaded me on that ambulance, and when I landed in Tallahassee, they ran another CAT scan and another MRI, and they said, the bleeding has stopped. The bleeding has stopped. When Jesus walks into a room, the room is never the same again. You can believe him. You can believe him. You know the story, how that it took months to get over the bleeding that had happened, and how that God just restored over there a year. But the story doesn't stop there. October 9th, 2016. We got up. I just had some reconstructive surgery on my vocal cords. We got up that Sunday morning, and we're getting ready to come to church. And moments after I got up, my left side began to go completely numb, and my right side to begin to draw up. In about 4 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes time, I was paralyzed all over and could not move and could not speak. And Geraldine had to lay me back, and my body. I was having a massive, massive stroke. Evidently, from a fat embolism. They don't know for sure what happened, but the EMTs rushed into the room, took one look at me, and one said to the other, let's get him in the ambulance, we're losing him. Loaded me on that stretcher and rolled me out into that onto that sidewalk. And as we rolled out on the sidewalk, I just began to pray and praise the Lord. And I knew the moment when I began to pray in the Spirit on that side, I knew in the moment that something had happened and something had changed. What had happened is Jesus had walked in the room. Jesus had come in the room, rushed me to the hospital, and it took several hours to fully get over, and then several months to fully get over. But what I'm telling you this morning is when you have that kind of a stroke in that kind of an area, you have long-term neurological problems. But I'm standing here telling you today, when Jesus walks into a room, the room is never the same again. Now, what's the point for me, Pastor? What's the point for me? What's the point for you this morning? Listen, you may never have cancer. I pray you don't. You may never have a brain hemorrhage. I pray you don't. You may never have a stroke. I pray you don't. But there are things in your life that Jesus wants to walk into if you will just believe. And when you believe, listen, it will never be the same again. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. My story is a dramatic story, and I'm thankful for the story. But that's not the point. The point is, where are you in your life? What is going on in your life? Where do you need Jesus to walk into? And there's some this morning, I sense this very strongly in my spirit, and I just want to speak to you just as a pastor, as a man this morning. There's some this morning that, just quite honestly, I just have this sense, there's some that's, Pastor, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. I can get by like I am. I don't know that I need Jesus into that area of my life. I don't know that I'm ready to believe him or trust him. And I just got news for you this morning. Listen to the words of this preacher. I encourage you to trust him and believe on him today. Trust him and believe on him today. Don't wait until the cancer diagnosis or the brain hemorrhage or the stroke or whatever. Listen, don't wait. Begin to trust him now. Believe him now. When Jesus comes into the room, receive his peace, receive his joy, and your life will never be the same again. He loves you. That's why he's come into this room. That's why he's here right now, because he loves you, cares about you. Young people, listen to me. Listen to me, young people. Don't wait. Listen, your testimony does not have to be. Can I just be frank just for a moment? Your testimony does not have to be I screwed up my life and Jesus fixed it. That does not have to be your testimony. In fact, that's not the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony is not that God delivered me from drugs or delivered me from alcohol or delivered me, you know what I'm saying, delivered me from all these horrible things. The greatest testimony is that God delivered me before I ever started. God protected me before it ever became a habit. God protected me before it ever got a stronghold in my life. That's the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony. Trust Him now. Believe Him now. You know why? Because He's worthy. He's worthy of that. And in your life, and I listen, my heart goes out. There's some young people sitting back here, a few over there, some here. Listen, my heart goes out to young people. We talked about it Wednesday night. They live in a world that we didn't live in. I'm not old. Now, see, somebody could have said amen. Instead, you just laughed. I'm not that old. But even just a few years ago, we didn't live in the world they live in today. They face things today that you and I never faced. And I'm telling you this morning, listen, don't wait. Trust Him now. Don't wait till your life is a mess. Trust Him now. Don't wait till your life is messed up. Trust Him now. Let Him give you now the life that He wants you to have. He loves you. He cares about you. And then there may be others in the room. Maybe things are a mess. Maybe there is a situation that you're dealing with. Maybe there is a circumstance. I'm telling you this morning, from personal experience, I'm telling you there is no locked room that Jesus cannot get into. There is no locked room that Jesus cannot get into. If you trust Him and you believe Him, He can walk in the room and it'll never be the same again. So here's what I want to do. The closing of this sermon, the closing of this message this morning is different than I anticipated it. I want to give a call to two people, two types of people this morning. There's some this morning that you need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. Your life is your room and you need Jesus in your life. You're living for yourself. You're doing your own thing. Pastor, why do I have to trust God? I'm telling you, this is a divine. You're not here by accident this morning. He brought you here for you to hear that He's there and ready to come into your heart, ready to come into your room. And if He's not in your life, Jesus is not in your life, I want to give you a call this morning. And in a moment, I'm going to give that as I do. If you need Jesus in your room, in your heart, in your life, and He's not there, I want you to come, and I want you to come right here and there in the center, because I personally want to just talk with you and pray with you. There's another set of people that you're dealing with something. I don't know what it is. You're dealing with something. Maybe it's a struggle with somebody. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a financial issue or a problem of some sort. Maybe it's something that you thought, God, it'll never change. It'll never change. I'm telling you, there is no room that Jesus cannot get into if you will invite Him. And if you this morning are here and you know what that situation, in fact, as I've been preaching, you know exactly what that situation is, that person, that thing, that decision that's hanging over you, I'm telling you this morning, I want to invite you to come and kind of stand on the sides here, and we're going to pray for you that Jesus will come into that situation. So I want to pray, and when I get through praying, those of you this morning, if you need Jesus in your heart, He doesn't live there, come and stand right here. Or if you need Jesus to walk into a situation of your life, I want you to come and stand on the sides. Father, I thank You and I praise You for the word that's preached this morning. You know the gravity of what's happening right now at this altar, in this service. Holy Spirit, come, remove any distraction. Lord, to the person this morning that needs You in their heart and needs You in their life, that has sat here for most of the service and has just kind of dismissed what was being preached, but now, Lord, they're feeling this pounding in their heart. That's You wanting to come in. That's You speaking to them. Let them know that this morning. You don't want to hurt them. You love them. You want to come into their life and make it a life, Lord, the life that they really want, Lord. thank you for that this morning. Then there are others, God. There are others this morning. They know exactly that circumstance, and they need you to move. They need you to move. And as they get up out of their seat and they come to this altar, I thank you, God, that their act of faith is going to, Lord, is going to open the way, God, and you're going to come in the middle of it. I thank you and I praise you for it. You know, Lord, give them the courage to move. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If the Lord's speaking to you this morning, you get up right now and come. Get up right now and come. Several of you need to come. Get up right now and come. If you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, I want you to come and stand right here in front of the pulpit because I personally want to minister to you. But if there are many this morning, yes, come on. Yes, thank you, Lord. If you're in the morning, listen, if you're not coming this morning, just pray. Just begin to pray right now. But there may be some others that there's a circumstance or a situation that you need Jesus to move into. I want you to just get up right now. Just get up right now and come. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to give just a moment. We're going to give just a moment for God to do what He's going to do this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I want to do. I want you, if you will, just kind of move in and feel in toward the middle. And as they do, could I have somebody come and stand behind each of these? I just want you to come stand, put your hand on their back. That's all I want you to do. What is that, Pastor? That you're just agreeing with them. You're just letting them know that they don't have to stand at the altar alone. I don't believe anybody should have to stand at the altar alone. You just need somebody to put their hand on their back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you right now. You see in the lives of every one of these. You see what the problem is. You see what the obstacle is. You see, Lord God, the healing that is needed. You see the answer that is needed. You see the decision that is being made, God. You see the heartache that they are going through, Lord. You see the relationship that needs to be mended, God. You see the abuse that needs to stop, God. Lord, you see into the situation right now. And I pray, Lord, their act of getting up and coming, Lord, it was an invitation for you to come into the room. So come into those places right now. Change those hearts right now. Make those decisions in their favor right now, God. Change those circumstances in their favor right now, God. Lord, change that relationship right now. Heal that body right now, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that peace about what they came for will begin to fill their hearts. Peace about that job. Peace about that healing, God. Peace about that relationship, Lord. Peace about that decision, God. Peace about that circumstance will begin to fill their hearts and fill their lives right now, God. Thank you, Lord. And joy. Yes, joy, God. I pray that joy, God, will begin to well up inside of them. Joy, God. Praise, Lord, will begin to rise up inside of them, God. We thank you and we praise you for it today, Lord. Thank you for that peace. Thank you for that joy. Thank you, Lord, that when you step into the room is never the same again. Thank you for it right now, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, if you came this morning, say it right now. Lord, I receive your peace. Lord, I walk in your joy. Come on, say it with me. Whole congregation, say it with me. Lord, I receive your peace. And I walk in your joy. Lord, I receive your peace. And I walk in your joy. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We trust you because you are worthy, God. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. We praise and we thank you for it right now, God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name we pray. Listen to me. When Jesus steps in, receive his peace, walk in his joy, and you will never be the same again. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing around this altar, what you've done in people's lives. Lord, we're not looking for the flash or the thunder. We're not looking for the show. We're just looking for you to show up. We're not looking for the show, God. We're just looking for you to show up. And we thank you that you're doing that right now, Lord. And God, as a pastor, my heart goes, and I just have to once more, Lord, just pray a special prayer, Lord, for those, Lord, that need you in their heart, that need you in their life. And for some reason they didn't make that decision. I pray that this message about you coming in and changing everything will stick with them. And they will know it and hear it when they need it, and they will call upon you. They will call upon you. I thank you and I praise you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand, if you will. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm telling you, listen, when Jesus walks in a room, the room is never the same again. Amen? Amen. Will you give him a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Two quick reminders. Remember, Wednesday night, everything that is going on here this Wednesday night, in here in the sanctuary this Wednesday night, we're talking about being a positive influence in a negative world. Till we see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.